タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタッタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are doing our semi-annual feedback fest. We touch on your responses to episodes over the past 6 months and share even more sewing tips, fabric questions, and inspiring sewing stories from you, our listeners.
Thank you for all your feedback. We love it. This episode of Love to Sew is brought to you by Skillshare. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for Love to Sew listeners.
Get 2 months of Skillshare for free at Skillshare.com/love to sew. That's 2 months of Skillshare for free at Skillshare.com/love to sew. And now on to the show.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm so good.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
If you knew me at all. No, I don't really do Halloween.
I always end up coming up with a costume at the last minute.
Yeah.
When someone invites me to something and I'm like, oh man, now I have to get dressed up. No, it's fun.
Yeah, I have no plans to be anything for Halloween other than myself.
That's why. That's cute. Cool. Just be yourself for Halloween. Yeah. Don't try to be anybody else. What else is going on?
Not too much. I did want to do a little plug for Blackbird because we just dropped a huge batch of coatings and suitings. Ooh. I feel like the timing is right. Like the weather in Vancouver is getting really crisp and cool, and I'm thinking about coat making. So we just dropped a big batch. They are really cool. There's some really awesome Japanese deadstock coatings, some deadstock coatings from the US, and also just like some really cool suitings that have like a bit of a 70s vibe. Ooh. Some cool plaids and some autumnal tones right up our alley. So go check them out if you are interested in sewing a coat this year. And if you're feeling intimidated about sewing a coat, you should definitely listen to our episode all about coat making. That's episode 71.
Yeah, it is.
What's going on with you?
Well, exciting news. After a long time coming, like over a year, I finally launched my new website and brand.
Yay!
Yay! Not much has changed. We're still Helen's Closet. We're still making patterns and we're still blogging and we're still all about sewing. But we have changed our logo and we have a new color palette and a new website. And I'm so excited about it. It's finally aligning with my vision for my business all along, but I haven't been able to take the time to develop a brand because I've been too busy working.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's a good problem to have. Everything's been going well, but I thought it was finally time to come up with a logo that I really feel represents me and what we do in the making community, and also to have a website that is a little bit more user-friendly for when people are checking out, purchasing patterns, downloading files, all that good stuff.
Everyone, go look at Helen's new website. It is so great.
I am like fingers crossed right now because when we're recording this, it's launching in like a few hours. And I'm just really hoping that by the time this episode comes out, all the kinks have been ironed out, you know? I know there's going to be stuff.
That's okay. I think that you have spent so long working on this and just like going through all the details that of course there will be things that go wrong, but I think it really shines all the work that you put into it. There are so many great little touches and details, and it is very user-friendly and it's very you, which I love. I'm like obsessed with your new logo. It's so cute.
Thank you.
And your colors are perfect. It's just so Helen's Closet. And I'm really proud of you for finishing this project. This has been a long time coming.
Unlike Caroline, I do not move very quickly sometimes. And I definitely have been putting this off because I do feel nervous about it. But here we are. I'm doing it.
Good job. Congrats.
Thank you.
That's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, today we are doing our feedback fest. This is something we've done a couple of times before. This is the third one.
third or fourth one, I want to say.
And it's just an opportunity for us to share some of the feedback that we've gotten from you, our listeners, over the past 6 months on the episodes that we've done or on topics in general, voicemails you've left us, emails you've sent us. It's such a fun opportunity for us to share that stuff. So thank you for joining us for the Feedback Fest.
Yeah. And we also want to take a minute to just thank everyone that does write in and leave voicemails for us. Or if you comment on social media, we do love hearing from you and we love doing these Feedback Fests. It's like a chance to celebrate our listeners and all of the awesome participation that we get from the community. And we also really appreciate you letting us know your perspective on things. We definitely don't always get things right or cover everything. So this episode gives us a really great opportunity to share your thoughts on different topics. And we're not shy. We're not shy to let you know if we got it wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the sewing community is a learning place for all of us.
Yeah.
We're trying to put some information out there for you all, and we love getting information in return. So keep it up, please.
Yes, definitely. Okay, let's get started with a message from Hazel.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. I wanted to write you a note to thank you for including so many submissions from members of the LGBTQA+ community in your Why Do We Sew episode. As a person who has a close loved one who's transgender, their stories held an enormous amount of meaning to me. I understand the challenges of finding ready-to-wear clothing when you don't fit into the boxes that our society and culture force upon us. I know from witnessing it that shopping for clothing can be incredibly discouraging for non-cisgender folk and can worsen gender dysmorphia because the items you're shopping for often aren't designed for your body type. The genderqueer and transgender community have enough struggles as it is without the added challenge of shopping for clothes that fit their bodies and make them feel good in their expression of gender and identity. I'm having some pretty intense feels while writing this. To the non-cisgender sewists who listen to Love to Sew, I see you. You are valued and you are loved. Your contribution to the sewing community counts. Keep sharing and don't ever stop being yourselves. Thank you for the podcast. Thank you for being inclusive. Thank you for keeping an open mind, learning from others whose experiences may be different than yours, and always striving to do better. Much love and respect from Hazel. And Hazel's at CHazelSew on Instagram. And I got a chance to meet her at Frocktails, which was really special.
Yeah, I got to meet her too. Hi, Hazel. It was awesome meeting you. And that just gave me goosebumps.
Me too.
Yeah, I love that Hazel was acknowledging that. And we do try to be inclusive and try to make sure that we see everyone in the community. And if you ever feel like we don't do that, let us know because we're always learning. But thanks so much for your feedback, Hazel.
Our next message is from Zoe.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. I started listening to your podcast last fall when I was in a bit of a slump and trying to find motivation to reboot my sewing business. I've always sewed as a side job, but never pursued it heavily since multiple day jobs are necessary in order to pay your bills in San Francisco. I'm reaching out because I wanted to say thank you. In October, right before my birthday, one of my jobs laid me off. I was devastated and faced with the decision, what do I do now? Listening to so many amazing sewists every day really made me feel it was finally time to go the sewing route. I'm always happiest at my machine after all. Thanks to the sewing meetup episode, I'd started following some specific hashtags on Instagram and then stumbled across local sewist accounts. Seeing others hard at work was inspiring and it helped me stay focused while searching the job postings every day. In late December, one of the accounts I'd started following posted that they were hiring. They were looking for teachers, and though I felt I was way underqualified with no formal training and a very small resume, I decided to go for it anyways. The woman who owns the studio was amazing, and we ended up chatting during my interview for 2 hours before I realized my boyfriend had called 5 times wondering if I was okay. I was hired that day and absolutely love my job. I now have a small group of repeat students, some who have even started looking into buying their own machines after only one class with me. Thank you for your podcast. I recommend you to others all the time, even my non-sewing friends, as you're both very inspiring and fun to listen to. Love, Zoe.
Oh, Zoe. That's awesome, Zoe. I'm so happy that you found a new job that you love. It's so great to hear that.
That's so cool. I think one of the cool things about the sewing community is that from a business owner's perspective, it's kind of hard to find someone with like the exact right qualifications, you know, because it's such a new industry. So I'm not always looking for someone that's like perfectly qualified for the job. Mm-hmm. What I really look for is someone that's passionate and excited about the sewing community. So if you have that and you're thinking about kind of breaking into this world, like be confident and go in there and just like show your love for the community. And I feel like that gives you a leg up on other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's so awesome, Zoe. Okay, let's now hear a voicemail from Sherry.
My name is Sherry Johnson from the beautiful UP of Michigan. I began listening to your podcast about a month ago during my daily walks, and I'm hooked. I'm so grateful there are lots and lots of podcasts in your library. I'm old, 74, and yet I'm learning so much, even though I've been sewing for 60 years. We all need to keep up with the latest in the sewing world. I have to say how wonderful it was to listen to the podcast, My Body Model, from June of 2018 with Erica Schmitz. She is so very sweet and humble and appreciative, so smart and explained everything well. And oh, your podcast entitled Why We Sew. Wow, you are both so pleasant and smart. And yes, I can almost tell you apart now. Keep up the great job. I'm certain that because of your podcast, many will be inspired to begin sewing or rekindle their love of sewing after putting it aside. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry. We loved your voicemail, and it's always so inspiring for us to hear from sewists that have been sewing for 50 plus years, because we hope to one day reach that goal, only to be so lucky. So we just really appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Thanks so much for the love, Sherry. All right. Our next message is from Lynn.
Dear Caroline and Helen, I love your podcast and I've learned so much about the state of contemporary sewing. Thanks for your hard work and your positive, inclusive approach. As a seamstress in her late 60s, who's also a professional historian, I would like to suggest another idea to include. I know that you and most of your listeners are young and living through an exciting explosion in independent pattern making, but independent patterns aren't new at all. The legendary Anne Person started the Stretch and Sew Company in the 1970s. She devised a way to sew knits before zigzag machines and was one of the first to advocate sewing machines that would sew knits more easily. She is also the first person, to my knowledge, to introduce multi-size sewing patterns. You can read about her on my blog at AmericanAgeFashion.com. There are many, many other examples, including companies like Sewing Workshop, started in the early 90s, that still exist today. While the internet has made all of this easier, the vibrant sewing industry today is part of a long history. Doesn't that make it even more interesting? Yours, Lynn.
It does, Lynn. And we have thoughts about the idea of doing an episode on the history of sewing. It's definitely something that we want to do in the future. So thank you for sending in your thoughts on this.
Yes.
And sounds like you're a real expert in the field.
Mm-hmm. And we've also been trying over the past 6 months to get some guests that are in different areas of the sewing world and have different experiences and maybe started businesses a lot earlier than, you know, the usual last decade that we touch on all the time. So thank you for pointing that out and know that we are definitely listening.
Yes. All right. Our next voicemail is from Rachel.
Hi, gals. This is Rachel, Austin, Texas. I am so excited to be calling you because I just love your show and I think you guys are just great. I was just listening to your interfacing episode and I thought it was so helpful and I learned so much. So I was wondering, could you guys do an episode on thread? I know that maybe sounds dull, just like you said about the interfacing episode, but something I think about a lot with sustainability is that I'm using polyester thread on all my other biodegradable garments, and I just don't know if I should be using cotton or if that's better. So I'd love to hear an episode about that. Also, I'd love to hear an episode about hardware. So all the different types of hardware, from, of course, zippers, which we use all the time, to more complex things like snaps and things that you need more advanced tools for. There's just so much out there, and I am intimidated by all of that. Third, I would love to hear an episode about other textile or fiber-based hobbies. Of course, there's knitting, but things like weaving, or I keep seeing this thing on Instagram, like punch needle. I don't really know how that works or what it is. That'd be super cool to have an episode or just kind of more obscure textile fiber-based hobbies. Just a fun story. So I have a baby. You can hear him. He's 3 months old. And the other day I sang your theme song to him and he loved it. He just stopped and stared at me with big eyes and smiled. And it was so cute. So thank you, gal, so much. You keep me company while I sew. Bye.
Thank you, Rachel, so much. And we love your suggestions. We actually are planning on doing an episode all about thread. So that's coming up. And I love your suggestion for an episode on hardware, because we haven't even thought about that.
No.
And that would be a great episode. There are so many mysteries when it comes to snaps and buttons and zippers and all that kind of thing. So I think we could dive really deep into that topic. Other fiber-related topics, definitely on our radar.
Mm-hmm. I agree that punch needle is some kind of black magic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. When I see it happening, I'm like, what is going on? So yeah, maybe we need a whole episode just to dissect that a little bit.
Yeah, because you can make textiles with that, you know. You can make like kind of tapestries almost
totally
with the punch needle, mm-hmm. and incorporate that into garments. So
yeah, you can also incorporate fabric scraps into weaving, not only weaving with yarn and thread, but weaving with your actual fabric scraps, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I love it. Love all these suggestions. Thanks so much.
All right. Our next messages are all about sewing a handmade wardrobe. Our first message is from Stephanie.
Hi, ladies. Far away in Melbourne, I listened to your Create Your Dream Wardrobe episode as I lay in the dentist's chair, a beautiful distraction. And today I skipped out into the sunshine feeling lighter in my soul because you gave me the nudge I needed to let go of about 6 clothing items I've kept in the too tight corner of my wardrobe for more than 10 years. They hail from a time before I had my 3 beautiful boys. In fact, I was still single and unhealthily infatuated with someone who I associated those clothes with, but is long gone from my life. It was your comment that if I ever did manage to put them on again, perhaps I would no longer even like them. Together with the fact that I've just cut out fabric for some new pieces and have plans for projects ahead, I see that my style is evolving in step with the changes in my life. I will definitely benefit from the space I've created by getting rid of stuff I can't even wear that connects me to a past I needed to let go of. Thank you for the podcast, which made me giggle in places, much to the dentist's consternation. Why am I saying that so weird?
It's not a word you use often.
Hugs, Stephanie.
Good word pull, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Consternation.
Stephanie, you are a beautiful writer. I loved when she said, I will definitely benefit from the space I've created by getting rid of stuff I can't even wear and that connects me to a past I needed to let go of. Because I do think we hold on to things for probably too long because of that emotional connection. And it is important to evaluate that and think, okay, why am I holding on to this? Is it a positive association? Is it a negative association? And maybe just kind of taking the time to reflect on that is important.
I've also let go of a few pieces since that episode, and it can be such a great freeing feeling.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a message here from Amy. Dear Helen and Caroline, I just listened to episode 47, Sewing Swimwear, and felt I had to write to thank you, not only for the technical advice, which was as comprehensive and helpful as I've come to expect, but also for your conversation about body image. I sewed my first swimsuit this summer and was surprised at how it affected me. I've come a long way over the past 15 years on my journey of learning to love my body, but the feelings of inadequacy and freakishness that plagued my middle and high school years seemed to rush back whenever I put on a bathing suit. The body that I've become so fond of seemed uncomfortable, pinched, flabby, and just not right in every suit I've tried. In my homemade suit, not only do I physically feel comfortable and able to move whichever way a beach day takes me, but I also feel emotionally at ease. I've reasoned that this is because the suit fits me well, which ready-to-wear suits never seem to, and because I'm so freaking proud of it. The cellulite on my thighs and the rolls on my back didn't disappear, but I'm so blinded with pride by my own craftiness and passion for this amazing hobby that they seem inconsequential. Thank you so much for all you do to connect this remarkable community.
Amy, thank you so much for your message. I also feel that way when I put on my handmade swimsuits. I just feel super powerful and confident, and all of my insecurities kind of melt away because I made my damn swimsuit.
Right?
Yeah.
And it fits so well. That's my favorite part. Making something that is what you want to be wearing at a beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having that control is awesome.
Exactly.
All right. We also have a message from Sandra. Thanks for taking the time to make such an interesting and enjoyable podcast. I've noticed that you and many with you use the word handmade for homemade garments as if store-bought garments weren't handmade, which they are. In the Swedish sewing community, handmade as a word is seldom used unless something is handmade in contrast to what is the common production practice. For example, hand quilting. The more common word is rather homemade. As English is not my first language, I would love to hear your thoughts about the use of words hand and homemade within the sewing community. Sincerely, Sandra, the Swedish sewist. Sandra, thank you for your feedback. And we definitely noticed this distinction, and we make an effort kind of consciously to use handmade over homemade. So you realized that, and it's true. I think we do tend to use that word more often. For me, homemade has always had a little bit of a negative connotation, in the sense that if something is homemade, it might not look as professional or as finished as, let's say, a ready-to-wear garment. For me, handmade feels, I guess, more special. And it's not to discount the fact that ready-to-wear garments are also handmade. I mean, all garments are handmade. Humans need to make garments. We don't have machines that do that for us, for the most part. So it's in no way taking away from that. But I think it's just the more commonly used term in the sewing community.
Yeah, it definitely is now. But I think either are perfectly acceptable. Yeah. And people can choose whichever they prefer. But I do agree that there's that slightly negative connotation that, like, Becky home ec-y,
yeah,
homemade garment. But it doesn't need to be that way.
No.
We want to reclaim homemade as something that's more modern and more professional than... We could do that.
Yeah.
Love to hear other people's feedback on this.
We also have a great message later on in the Feedback Fest from Gudrun about the term handmade and ready to wear and kind of that whole topic. So we'll go further on this topic a little bit later.
All right. We have a voicemail here from Katie.
Hello, Helen and Caroline. My name is Katie and I'm calling from Tel Aviv, Israel. My question for you is... As a new sewist, my big dilemma is, why are my pants always splitting? It seems to be a recurring issue every time I sew a pair of really cute shorts or pants that I'm really nervous the first few times I bend down, and I've had to repair split seams in the crotch on all of them. I'm not sure if I'm not sewing at the correct length or what is going on with it, but I'm wondering if this is a common issue and if there are any simple fixes for it or things that I need to be taking into consideration when I purchase fabrics for strong enough crotches. Things I did not think I was going to need to say in my life. Anyways, thanks so much. I seriously love the podcast. It has been my friend after moving overseas, and I'm so thankful for all the work that you guys do. Have a great day. Bye.
Katie.
I'm imagining somebody shopping for jeans and being like, excuse me, does this have a strong crotch? I need a strong crotch.
I do think that ready-to-wear garments that are made in factories with industrial sewing machines do tend to have stronger seams, especially when you're talking about jeans, because they're using specialty threads and techniques that are really reinforcing those seams. So I'm not surprised that you may be having some issues with splitting seams on your handmade garments. My first thought is it the seam that's splitting or is it the fabric that's ripping?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, an important distinction, because if it's the fabric that's ripping, I would say it's a fabric issue. So either your fabric is too lightweight, it's too loosely woven, it's the wrong fiber content.
It's old.
It's old, exactly. You want to make sure that you're using a really high quality, tightly woven fabric when you're sewing pants, especially fitted pants. And if you tend to have an issue with seams splitting, then maybe just hunt down a different type of fabric to experiment with, something like a sturdy bull denim or a cotton twill or a high quality cotton denim, something like that.
Yeah, definitely. The other thought I have is, how are you finishing those crotch seams? Typically in jeans, you would press to one side and then do an edge stitch, or maybe even two lines of edge stitching. And those extra stitches really help reinforce that seam. So you're not having all of the pressure on your original seam to put those two pieces together. You're then pressing it to one side and getting even more reinforcement from all of your top stitching. Super important.
Yeah. I also wonder, this might be a weird question, but like, what your lifestyle is like. Because I once met a mover, a lady mover, who was complaining about how all her pants split all the time. And she like was she was actually helping us move offices, and she was like, "You have a fabric store. What fabric should I buy so that my fabrics don't, or so that my pants don't split?" And I was just like, "I don't know this issue, but like it must be because she's constantly bending down, you know, squatting, mm-hmm. like doing certain types of movements that put a lot of stress on those crotch seams and those bum seams." So maybe it's something to consider when you're making your fabric choice.
Heavy wearing fabric.
Yeah, I do think like linens are definitely more prone to splitting. Even though linen is a strong fiber, just the weave of linens tend to not be as dense or sturdy mm-hmm. as like cotton.
And then lastly, I think just giving yourself a bit more room using mm-hmm. pattern adjustments. So maybe you need to be lengthening the rise on your pants. Like maybe you're belting your pants and it's pulling it up at your waist and you're not getting enough ease in between your waist seam and your crotch. You need to lengthen that rise in the front and the back, and potentially do a full seat adjustment or even a full thigh adjustment to give yourself a bit more room up top, so that when you do bend over, bend down, or squat, you have extra wiggle room.
Yeah, and make sure when you're fitting your garment and when you're in the sewing process, try it on standing up, but then try it on sitting down. Try moving around and doing different things in that garment to make sure, you know, you might feel like you have enough ease standing straight up, but then when you sit down, everything compresses, right? And you kind of, your hips and your bum kind of squishes down on a chair and widens.
Yeah.
So things tend to feel tighter when you're sitting down, right? So that's something that you want to consider when you're sewing up your test muslin or whatever you end up doing.
Yeah. Thank you for calling from abroad. It's always so exciting when we hear from our listeners.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie. All right. We have some feedback from Natasha. Do you want to read it?
Sure. I was just listening to my other favorite fashion-related podcast, Pop Fashion. They were talking about a new book called The Conscious Closet. It's written by the same author of Overdressed, The High Price of Fast Fashion. I haven't read it yet myself, but I thought of you two as soon as I heard of it, so I thought I'd pass it along. Thanks for all your kind words, hard work, and love of sewing. As a few listeners have actually recommended this book to us with the focus building a dream wardrobe and sustainability. And we had a great chat with Michelle a week ago, and I think she recommended the Overdressed book. So this is another book you can add to your list.
Love it. Love book suggestions. We have some feedback about our refashioning episode. So the first piece of feedback is from Rebecca. Hello. After listening to your episode on refashioning, I wanted to get in touch to share one of the reasons I'd like to refashion. For me, a big reason is to save money. I love to sew, but it's not a cheap hobby, and fabric is one of my main expenses. I try to alternate proper projects, sewing a garment from scratch using new fabric, with refashioning projects to help my sewing budget stretch further. I alter my old ready-to-wear clothes or look out for bargains in charity and thrift shops. I think your podcast is great, and it's the reason I moved to garment sewing from craft sewing, and I'm so glad I did. Rebecca.
We're glad you did too.
Yeah.
I love this concept of alternating. It is a great way to stretch your budget. And we didn't really talk about financial reasons for refashioning in the episode, but it's so true. It's a great way to save money. And sewing is expensive. A lot of fiber arts hobbies are expensive,
actually.
I'm learning that.
Definitely. All right. Our next comment is from Kate's Tangled String on Instagram.
Hey ladies, just listened to the refashioning episode and wanted to let you know that Value Village in Canada accepts fabric scraps for recycling. They appear to be more committed to not just dumping them, which I know is a concern mentioned with H&M. Thanks for the tip. We haven't looked into this, but anyone else in Canada who wants to recycle their fabric scraps and has a Value Village nearby, definitely check that out.
Yeah, I love that. It's a chain, so it's in a lot of different smaller cities.
I think it's like the equivalent of Savers in the US.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, our next voicemail is from Amy.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. This is Amy of Amy Nicole Studio in South Texas. I loved your recent episode all about refashioning. Of course, I am a refashioning fiend. And I just wanted to add that if your listeners are looking for another refashioning challenge, Pilar of Pilar Bear on Instagram and I host the Restyling Exchange every spring during Fashion Revolution Week around the end of March, where you refashion something for someone else and exchange it. It's a lot of fun. It can be a little intimidating, but everyone really enjoys it. So So you can follow that at hashtag Restyling Exchange if you want to see past makes and hear more about it. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Amy. And guys, Amy has been doing an amazing job this year at a slow fashion challenge. So you guys have to go check out her website. And also this challenge sounds amazing.
Yes.
She said amazing.
The year of slow sewing.
Yes.
I think that's a hashtag as well. We'll link it in the show notes. But she is doing a great job. And Amy has awesome ideas for refashioning on her blog and on her Instagram. So you should definitely go follow along.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. This episode of Love to Sew is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of amazing classes covering dozens of creative and entrepreneurial skills.
You can take classes in everything from photography and creative writing to design, productivity, and more. I actually took a bunch of Skillshare classes when I started my business on topics like social media, email marketing, and SEO.
You can also use Skillshare to learn new crafts and skills. I took a Skillshare class on surface design when I was learning to make a repeat pattern for a custom printed fabric. So whether you're returning to a longtime passion project, challenging yourself to get outside your comfort zone, or simply exploring something new, Skillshare has classes for you.
Not only does Skillshare offer classes in so many cool subjects, they also provide a place to interact with other students and the instructors. Maybe you could take a Skillshare class on embroidery or weaving with some of your online sewing friends. How cool would that be?
Super fun. I also have a class on Skillshare that's all about fabric. It's called The Beginner's Guide to Fashion Fabrics, and it focuses on wovens. It's a crash course on picking the right fabric for your project, which we all know is one of the biggest challenges in sewing.
Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer. Get 2 months of Skillshare for free. Skillshare is offering Love to Sew listeners 2 months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/lovetosew. Again, go to skillshare.com/lovetosew to start your 2 months now. That's skillshare.com/lovetosew.
What's that again?
skillshare.com/lovetosew.
Woohoo! Okay, let's talk about sewing tips.
Yes, the moment you've all been waiting for. More sewing tips.
Yeah, so many of you guys commented on our sewing tips episode, and some of you also continued to submit your tips, so we had to include some of them.
Of course. Fast Cow Chip reached out to us on Instagram. To rejog your memory, their tip was, I have super glued a magnet to the side of a couple of my machines. That way, I always have a pair of snips handy. It's also great for pins. And we had a bit of a debate about whether or not this would mess with your computerized machine. And so they wrote back in to say that they have not glued a magnet to any of their computerized sewing machines, just the older mechanical ones without the little built-in cutter.
Love it.
Yeah. Great. I still don't think it really matters. I'm on team magnetize.
I'm on team magnetize. Selectively.
Catchy. All right. We have an email from Shelley.
Hello, ladies. Thanks for another fantastic sewing tips episode. There were so many good ideas. I've already listened twice, but I plan to listen a third time with pen in hand. Listening to all those great tips gave me a few tips I wanted to share. The first one is, after pre-washing your fabric, be sure to iron it. If you try to cut fabric that is wrinkled, your pieces may have jagged edges and not come out true to their intended shape. Ask me how I know. Don't worry, we won't. The second one is also related to fabric that has been washed. Iron slippery fabrics with a little bit of spray starch after washing. That will restore the finish of the fabric to something that is similar to what it was when you purchased it. But more importantly, it helps keep the fabric from being slippery when you try to cut or sew it. Thanks again for a great show. I love Shelley's tip about ironing your fabric after pre-washing because it's not something we really talk about. It's like an unwritten rule. But as a beginner, you might not know that. Going into it, you might just be like, I pre-washed my fabric. Let's get to cutting. But it's true that sometimes there can be some pretty serious wrinkles going on. And it's always good to just pass that iron over your fabric, smooth everything out, get it all nice and flat so that you're making sure that when you cut, it's all accurate and looking good.
Yes. I have a couple follow-up tips. If you are not going to use your fabric right away, I think it's okay to fold it up nicely and then iron it before you cut later. Mm-hmm. That's what I usually do. Mm-hmm. Also, I always, when I'm washing my fabric, make sure I put a timer on my dryer because I don't have an ensuite dryer. It's like in my building, but I always want to get it out as soon as the drying is done. Like, it's got to be hot coming out of the dryer so that you can fold it and you get less set in wrinkles. If it sits in the dryer, you're going to get all of those super set in wrinkles. You do not want that, especially with denim.
You're so organized. I don't do that.
Well, you have an ensuite dryer though, don't you?
Yeah, but like sometimes my stuff will stay in the dryer for days and I'll just...
But then it's so wrinkly and yeah. You don't get hot dryer vibes.
That's true. Yeah, I do miss out on those hot dryer vibes sometimes.
Thank you, Shelley. Our next piece of feedback is from Brandon Fullingcamp. I had a tip that I forgot to submit, but could still help someone. I have a terrible time making flat felt seams on the inside of my button-down shirt sleeves. So I started sewing the side/arm seam with a French seam, and now I just have to pull it to one side as I'm stitching in the well, and the top stitching is made so much easier without having to tuck as I'm in that hole created by the sleeve.
Yes.
Let us just process this for a second.
Okay. So he's using a French seam to construct the sleeve,
mm-hmm.
and then pushing that to one side to make like a faux flat felt with the French seam?
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it too, because he's saying that it's really difficult to get that fold over from one side of the seam to the other and tuck it all under inside of a sleeve. Definitely challenging.
Follow-up question. If you're flat felling or doing this technique on a sleeve opening, would you insert the sleeve flat, or would you insert the sleeve, what's it called, in the round, I guess?
Don't do a lot of French seams. Probably I would do a set-in.
Yeah.
And not a flat.
And not do it flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Brandon, we have questions.
Good tip, though. It is always such a pain to get inside a sleeve for mm-hmm. pressing and everything. I love my little sleeve roll. I use it all the time.
Yeah.
Super handy.
I just don't do, like, I'm lazy sewist. Hashtag lazy sewist.
Serger.
I can't be bothered with flat felt or French seams.
But if you're making a nice button-up shirt, you know, go the distance.
Yeah.
All Maybe. Right. Not all of us can afford sergers, Caroline.
That's true. All right. We have a comment from E. Brank on Instagram. I was reminded of the discussion of Sharp's disposal. I use one of those tubey thingamajigs that sometimes come with a bouquet of flowers.
I totally know what you're talking about.
That's really smart. I glued some Velcro to it and stuck it in a convenient place. It's handy. And I will never again stick my hand in a trash bag and get a painful surprise. I mean, even not even just to save yourself, don't put your Sharps in a trash bag no matter what, because there might be people that are going through the trash. Mm-hmm.
Trash collectors. All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you never know, right? Yeah. You want to dispose of those Sharps correctly.
I think there's lots of things you could use. The little flower thingamajig is a great idea. Film canisters, if you still have any of those.
Old pill bottles.
Pill bottles. Things that are see-through are kind of fun. A mason jar with a lid on it.
Even like a sour cream container or something. Just something that you can seal and put in the garbage that won't break or have those sharp objects poke through.
Totally. At our studio, we use the IKEA organizer pegboard system, and they have these like little clear slidey containers that you can get, and we have one of those for our sharps.
Smart.
Yeah,
love it.
For anyone else who has a skedis. Our next message is from Nina. Hello, Love to Sew team. I just listened to your episode on sewing tips and wanted to add one. We heard this hot tip from Anne St. Clair of Needle and Nook Fabrics in Wichita, Kansas, when we traveled to take her bra making class for episode 20. If you're struggling with the fit of a crotch curve on a pants pattern, go to the kitchen and get some aluminum foil. Get quite a large piece and scrunch it into a tube. The tube should hold its shape, but still be pliable. Then mold the foil to your crotch curve on your body. Carefully take it off without losing the shape, lay your foil down, and trace the inner curve of the foil with a marker. Then you can use that as a guide to alter any crotch curve. I hope this tip can help people with pants fitting. Happy sewing from the Sewing for the Weekend podcast.
Yeah, so when Nina mentioned episode 20, she's talking about episode 20 of her sewing podcast. Nina has a sewing podcast with her mom, Beth, so you guys should go check it out. More Absolutely. Sewing content. I
Can't
love
get
it.
Enough.
And I love this tip. I might need to try the whole aluminum foil in the crotch thing.
Cool.
I mean, it's cool.
All right, we have a message here from Alex.
Hi, Caroline and Helen. I recently discovered your podcast and I love it. I went back to the beginning and have been very belated in submitting these tips. So Alex has a few tips and we're going to list them here. The first tip. My sewing friends and I have made duct tape dress forms that are very accurate to our bodies. There's a Threads article that can help with this, and we will link that in the show notes. Tip number two. After seam ripping, you can remove all those annoying little bits of thread with a piece of tape. Just don't put it over the edge of the fabric or it might make it fray. One piece of tape can be used multiple times. Tip number three. To press fabric yardage, make your own big flat ironing surface from plywood. Mine is 2 feet by 4 feet, covered in quilt batting and topped with heavy white cotton. A staple gun can secure it all on the back. Do the batting first, then the fabric. Stretch the fabric tightly and evenly. You can place it on a table, your regular ironing board, or make legs from a sawhorse kit. Just make the legs as long as you need them. Tip number four. To keep your iron cord from getting in the way, put a hook in the ceiling and attach a loop of elastic to it so that it hangs about 1.5 to 2 feet above your ironing board. Put the iron cord through the elastic and it will stretch to let you iron everywhere, but it will keep the cord from dragging across your fabric. I love that tip. It's kind of like a rigged up gravity feed situation. Really good. Tip number five. Save scraps to take with you when shopping for more fabric, notions, and ready-made clothes that you want to match what you already have. You can keep the little scraps in your purse so that you can shop anytime. Save the stir sticks from paint cans when you do a room so you can take them to the shop to match fabric for curtains, cushions, and such. Hope my hints are helpful. Alex.
Thank you, Alex. These are all really cool tips. I particularly like the make your own ironing board tip. It's something that I wanted to for a long time, still on my list. But yeah, you can totally make one with wood and batting and cotton, and then you can have a much larger surface to iron on. And who doesn't want that?
Yes, I've seen people use those IKEA kitchen islands. Like you can get the like $50 ones that are kind of just a butcher block. Ooh. And they get a bigger piece of plywood to put on top. And I think that's a great way to have like a base with some shelving in it for like ironing accessories.
Cool.
Yeah. So there are lots of ways you can do that, but it's a great idea.
Okay, Caroline, guess what?
Are we going to talk about fabric?
As always, yay! It always comes back to fabric. Okay, so Bailey says, I was sewing at work listening to the fabric Q&A episode, and I had some knowledge to add about press cloths. When working with wool, velvet, and nappy fabric in general, using a self-fabric press cloth is really helpful and, may I say, healthy for your fabric. For instance, when you're working with velvet, if you have the nap of your garment against the nap of the press cloth, it helps with not crushing your velvet. The same goes for wool. And with wool, you can get the best press making a garment press cloth sandwich with a wool press cloth, a wool garment, and then another wool press cloths from the very warm North Vancouver Bailey Riddle.
Thank you, Bailey. These are great tips. I love your ideas for making healthy choices for fabric.
I know. It's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
Dare I say.
All right. Our next piece of feedback is from Tiana. Hi, Helen and Caroline. On your recent fabrics episode, a listener asked about t-shirt fabric, saying that 5% spandex feels like a lot for a t-shirt. I agree. Your typical Target or ready-to-wear t-shirt has no spandex and is usually a cotton poly blend. I spent years making tees out of cotton spandex, rayon modal, bamboo spandex, brushed poly, only to hate them because they seem too homemade and not at all like what I would buy from the store. I went on a mission to find the right t-shirt fabric, and after making 15 plus Union Street tees, I've got the perfect stuff. The Robert Kaufman Dana Knit is a modal cotton blend that is perfect. Soft, drapey, still stretchy, but not too much. I've also on occasion found Tri-Blend Jersey, which is great too. It's a cotton rayon poly blend. I hope this helps anyone looking for the perfect t-shirt fabric containing no spandex. Thanks. I love the podcast.
Great tip. I tend to go for a more spandex fabric for my t-shirt, so it's nice to have a good recommendation that's been tested 15 times. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
For our listeners out there who want to go spandex free.
Definitely. You just want to make sure that this fabric still has enough give and stretch for your pattern. Exactly. So a lot of the time patterns will recommend stretch percentage. So just check that against your pattern. Otherwise, you could size up and still use that pattern if that exercises available to you. But I love this tip. We actually, the original email was from Guile, and we got this feedback a while ago. So I sent it to Guile. She's taken care of. She knows about the jerseys. She didn't have to wait this long.
Okay. We have a voicemail from Samantha.
Okay.
Hello, Caroline and Helen. This is Samantha. I am calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan. However, up until just a few years ago, I lived in Austin, Texas all my life. And therein lies sort of a big problem for me. I am trying to adjust my wardrobe to my new surroundings. I've always been a bit of a hot box, so I don't necessarily need heavy clothing, but my wardrobe that was basically year-round doesn't work for here in Michigan, especially in the cold months. But I would still like to have the vast majority of my wardrobe be as year-round as possible, so to speak. I am learning to sew my own clothes. I'm okay at it, not great, but I would love some ideas on fabrics that will still breathe. I try to buy natural fabrics as much as possible and would keep me warm, but not necessarily hot once I was inside. I'm one of those folks where it has to be really, really, really cold before I'm going to put on a jacket or a coat. So I'm not looking for something that's super, super heavy. So any ideas on that would be great. Otherwise, I've just been sort of layering up in the winter. And I think this year I'm just going to layer some of the linen pieces that I've worn and just wear turtlenecks underneath them or what have you. Thank you so much for your wonderful show. I listen to it all the time. And I'm a Patreon subscriber because what you do is worth every penny. You guys are great. Bye-bye.
Samantha, that's a great question.
It is. And I think a lot of people can relate to this, especially in the U.S. because I think there are so many different climates. Mm-hmm. We don't have quite as many here in Canada. But I know when you're moving around and you're settling in a new place and you're going from somewhere that didn't have seasons to somewhere that does have seasons, it can be really hard to adjust your wardrobe.
Yeah. So I would say look out for fabrics with linen content, merino wool, cotton, Tencel. These are all fabrics that tend to be warm when you're cool and cooling when you're warm. They kind of change depending on your body temperature. And they are all breathable natural fibers, mm-hmm. which I think is what you are looking for. I mean, layering up is a good strategy.
I was going to say embrace the layers.
Yeah, embrace the layers. Maybe you just need to make yourself some really great cardigans or some nice sweaters.
Coatigans. Anything that opens in the front is nice when you run hot. I totally feel you.
Yeah.
I run really hot, so it's nice to be able to take off and put on layers as needed and not have to pull things over my head.
Yeah. And maybe you want to be a little bit intentional about your approach to creating your new wardrobe for this new climate. And I think you would be a great candidate or you would really benefit from the Create Your Dream Wardrobe worksheet, which is free. You just have to sign up for our newsletter to get it. And I think, Samantha, you will find it helpful to kind of go through the process of looking at your closet and what works for you now and what doesn't, mm-hmm. and then finding some inspiration for what you want to dress like, because I think that'll help you pick up patterns and fabrics, colors, all that kind of thing. But
yeah,
you have an exciting journey ahead of you.
You do. It's kind of exciting to move to a seasonal climate and get a chance to wear things that you've never had a chance to wear before.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Next up, we have an email from Emma in response to Denise's episode about sewing through breast cancer. Dear Helen and Caroline, I just got home from a long day of work and on my commute home, I listened to episode 104 and was brought to tears. I don't sew and I don't have cancer, but the show was so, so, so special to me. For context, I'm a knitter and I love knitting sweaters. I would love to start sewing, but I am waiting until I finish graduate school before embarking on another hobby. I found your podcast as I wanted to learn a bit more about sewing while I wait for my turn. For additional context, I'm in recovery from a severe eating disorder. Cancer and eating disorders are different, and I do not claim to understand Denise's experience, but the chemo tunnel she described felt so accurate to the awful feeling of my body as it shrank and fought to stay alive despite the assault my anorexia impeded on it. Denise stating to love the imperfections made the tears come. Denise stating to love our healthy bodies brought tears. It's been 11 months since I purged last and 30 months since I was last in the ER due to my eating disorder's assault. For me, knitting sweaters has brought me immense pride. Years of anorexia has left my body in a condition that doesn't reflect my mid-20s status. My body is different than it ever was, but with sweaters, I can adorn her with love and care. I beam with pride as I wear a sweater. Denise's irreverent description of her cancer treatment was so refreshing. The truth of cancer sounds terrifying. The truth of an eating disorder is terrifying as well. My experience was validated through her words, even though they were so different. Denise was unafraid to share her journey, and it reminds me that I, too, am on my own journey, a journey planted with pain and hope. Thank you, Helen and Caroline. I've listened to a number of your podcasts on body image, on beginner sewing, among many others. I know I'll be sewing soon, but for now, please know your conversations inspire more than just sewists. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sending this in, Emma. Really touched me. And I think it is important to remember that when we're sharing these experiences with our guests on the show and they're sharing their stories, not everyone is going to relate directly to them, but we feel it's important to share their stories. And it's okay if you garner something from that. It doesn't mean that you're comparing your experience to them. I think it just means that we're all sharing and
seeing
being
each other
open yeah. and exactly seeing each other. And don't worry too much about whether or not your experience is equal or the same or, you know, worse or better. It's just about being open and connecting through mm-hmm. this amazing craft. So
yeah,
we were both really touched by Denise's episode and also touched by your email, Emma. And I hope that a lot of other people are too.
All right. We have some feedback about sergers and overlackers.
Overlackers.
First from Carla. Hi, Helen and Caroline. I just listened to your serger episode and wanted to give an additional tip on changing the thread. After you tie new threads to the old threads, simply lift the presser foot and pull the new thread through. Lifting the presser foot releases the tension and allows you to easily pull the thread through the machine. This saves time, thread, and wear and tear on your machine. Thanks for making this fantastic podcast. I've been listening regularly since your first episode. It's my favorite podcast and has helped me so much on my garment sewing journey.
Yay!
First episode. Thank you. This is a great tip. I often will tie off my threads and then just chain until mm-hmm. they pull through, but it does save a lot of thread to just lift the presser foot and pull the threads out. Mm-hmm. I did this the other night and I was like, oh, I'm stupid.
By chain, you mean just basically sew
Run
with the presser
serger.
Foot down and you're creating a chain of thread with the four threads or yeah. three threads from your overlock. A lot of people don't even realize you can do that because on a sewing machine, you can't chain. Obviously, it's yeah. just two threads. It'll become a big mess. But on sergers, you can.
Yeah.
But I do love this tip. I've never actually tried it, but I will next time.
Yeah, do it. It saves, does save thread for sure.
Yeah. Our next piece of feedback is from Suzanne. I loved your episode on sergers. I just wanted to share my serger cover stitch story with you. I am one of those people who has to wear natural fibers. I live in my Pima cotton t-shirts, but have this problem with short arms. All my t-shirts need to be altered. That's fine, but you know how easy it is to ruin a cotton t-shirt while cooking or catching it on something, and it would just drive me crazy with the added expense of the alteration when I ruin my tee. I've gone through several different brands of sergers and even a combo machine that was a serger and cover stitch, but I found it hard to go back and forth with the switching between modes. I could never get a good cover stitch. I made two rules for myself with using these machines: to always rethread the machine when I start a new project. I have two reasons for that. First, so I'm sure it's threaded right, and secondly, so I remember how to thread the machine. No tying knots in the thread for me. The second rule is test before sewing. So important, unlike the sewing machine, which does the job each time. Keep up the good work, Suzanne.
Ooh, controversial opinion. Rethread your serger every time?
Oh my gosh. I know that is. I mean, I agree that it will get you more used to using your serger and maybe yes. more comfortable threading it. So maybe if the serger like is a real intimidating thing for you, maybe that's what you need. I would argue that testing before sewing on a regular machine is important too. I know Suzanne said that the sewing machine does the job right each time, but I don't know that that's necessarily true for all machines. I always test on a scrap piece of fabric for my serger, my sewing machine, my future cover stitch that I still haven't purchased, but it'll happen one day. Always test. I think it's a good tip.
Good policy.
Yeah. All right. This next message is from Gudrun.
Yes. The follow-up to what we talked about before.
Yes.
Hi, I was listening to your serger episode and you mentioned a couple of times about how sergers let you make clothes that look like ready-to-wear garments. This got me thinking, why would we want that? At first, it seems cool that what we make looks store-bought. It's what I aspired for when I started sewing. But when you think about it, what most of us buy as ready-to-wear is cheap. Mass-produced garments, often sewn in unsafe work environments by underpaid people and in fabrics that won't stand up to wear. Even the higher-end expensive garments are often made in the same conditions. I definitely want my clothes to look well-made and have tidy insides, but I think we should be more proud of home sewing and the ways it differs from ready-to-wear. Only a few generations ago, everyone wore home-sewn, and I think it would surprise us to see how different the insides of those garments are compared to the ready-to-wear of today. When I make for myself and hopefully others in the future, as a soon-to-be licensed custom dressmaker, not to brag too much, I love taking the slow route. I have been experimenting with underlining instead of fusing because it will last longer and biodegrade. I used hand sewing a lot, even though it's slower, because it gives me more control. It sounds like I have a lot of time, but I don't. I make almost all of my clothes. I have kids and a job. It happens very slowly, and I don't own a lot of clothes, and I take time to mend them when they start wearing out. This, of course, also ties back to the idea of sustainability, and I could go on about how mended clothes are also something you never see anymore. But you can buy ripped ones, and how people might assume you're poor if your clothes are mended or patched. This is a bigger topic than I thought, and I could probably go on. My point is maybe that it's okay if your clothes look like they were home sewn. Be proud of it. I hope you find this as interesting as I do. Cheers, Gudrun.
I do find this really interesting.
Yeah.
Just how we look at home sewing, handmade garments or homemade garments versus ready to wear, and all of those kind of connotations that come with those words and societal expectations. And I don't know, I just think it's really interesting to consider that and think about it and think about the words that we're using and how we're approaching our handmade wardrobes. I love hearing from you, Gudrun. Gudrun actually writes to us quite a bit. And if
always
you're
so
a longtime
thoughtful
listener, yeah, you might remember some of her emails she wrote in on the Why Do We Sew episode, and definitely some other feedback vests. So we love hearing your thoughts.
Yeah, I think so too. I completely agree that on the off occasion that I do go into ready-to-wear stores, I'm usually appalled by the quality of the clothing. And it's one of the reasons why I can't buy that stuff anymore. I just look at it and I'm like, I get like the heebie-jeebies almost. And I'm like, no, I have to sew my own because I can make it so much better. Mm-hmm. So we're on a whole other level.
Yeah.
I think we need our own word.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or we just take back homemade.
Yeah, maybe. Homemade.
Thoughts for another day, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll have to workshop that. Think about it.
There'll be a hashtag for sure. Okay, we have some thoughts on men sewing. Man, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
All
but
right.
I mean, worth touching on,
of
for
course.
Sure. So Kathy says, hi, Helen and Caroline. I was playing catch up with your podcast this week and really enjoyed your sewing menswear episode. I've been sewing for my husband and sons for many years and have some ideas for other menswear and boys patterns. When I was in college, I was fortunate to work for a local stretch and sew fabric store. Their founder, Ann Pearson, developed patterns to be used with knit fabrics. I repeatedly used stretch and sew pattern number 1750, which is a men's t-shirt and tab front shirt, to make long and short sleeve versions of this shirt for my husband. Their pattern number 192, winter warm-ups, includes patterns for gloves, slippers, hats, and balaclavas that can be made from polar fleece. My son stayed warm in an afternoon playing out in the snow wearing their fuzzy balaclavas. Stretch and sew pattern number 193, pullover jackets, has a hooded and non-hooded version that I have made several times for my husband. He especially loves the versions I've made featuring his favorite sports teams. Green Pepper is another pattern line that has great patterns for hats, gloves, and outerwear for men and women. The third pattern line I can recommend is Quick Sew. I started with their baby patterns when my sons were newborns and have used their children's patterns as they grew. I often added an inch in length to garments I was making for them to extend the wearability of them. My sons are both in their 20s now, and I still sew them pajama pants. One of them is over 6 feet tall, so I continue to extend the length on the pants patterns I use when sewing for him. Thank you for producing a great podcast. Your guests are always interesting, and I look forward to listening each week. Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy. And for those of you out there who want to look up Quick Sew, a quick note that it's spelled with a K. I love that she still has to extend the length of the pants for her oldest son. Yeah. And that you sewed for them for so long and are continuing to sew for them. That's really special.
Yeah, it really is. Thanks for all those pattern suggestions.
Okay, this next one is my favorite of all of the feedback we've got for this episode. So I'm going to do my best to read it with all of the gravitas that it deserves.
Yes.
From Elizabeth. Dear Helen and Caroline, thank you so much for your amazing podcast. I found it quite by accident, and now it's my favorite, and I look forward to it every week, and I'm still working to catch up on the archives. I could gush for pages, but to cut to the end, I have been struck by how many of your guests jumped into projects when they had no idea what they were getting into. But I always think, oh, I wish I had done something like that when I was younger. Good for them. But then your episode with David Page Coffin came out. He was another person to say that he just wanted to write a book, so he went for it. Good for him. Then he talked about following your bliss and how he ended up with his dream job. Again, good for him. Then he said he got the letter from Threads when he was 39. You guys, I am 39. I literally teared up in the car. It was the first time I realized that I am not too old to start doing something I love. I love making things with fabric. I love writing. I'm going to do it. I'm starting a sewing blog. Is the market saturated? Don't know. Maybe. Is anyone going to read it? Don't know. Is it going to lead to something awesome and amazing? No idea. But I'm going to do it because I deserve to do something I love to do. And that makes me so excited that an interview and a podcast makes me tear up in the car. Thank you so much for your show, Elizabeth.
That's so heartwarming, Elizabeth. I love that you realized that you were the same age, or you are the same age as David Page Coffin was when he got that letter from Threads magazine. And it's true, 39 is not too young. 45 is not too young.
74 is not too young.
Exactly. You're never too old to pursue something that you love and that you're passionate about. And I do think that there's space for you in this sewing world, Elizabeth. And I hope you will email us when you start your blog so that we can check it out, because...
And point people your way.
Oh my gosh.
People will read it. Come on. What are you talking about?
Use those hashtags and people will read it.
All right. Lastly, we have some general follow-up feedback. Lastly and firstly from Lorna.
Hello from Australia. I started listening to your podcast about 6 months ago and I love it. Thank you for all the hard work you put into each show. I'm 58 and love to sew. I learned to sew by watching my grandmother. She never allowed me to actually do any sewing, but I loved sitting next to her as a child, watching her turn a flat piece of fabric into something wearable. It was like magic. I then went on to learn sewing at high school, aged 12 to 13 years, and I've never looked back. I don't consider myself the best sewer in the world, but I love it anyway. My question or topic for a future episode is, how can I or we take this knowledge and teach the next generation, or the one after that, the joys of sewing? I don't know where to start. How can I make a difference? With so much focus on good mental health these days, I know that so many young people, and not so young, would benefit greatly from sewing. Sewing classes have been taken out of schools, the fabric shops are dying, the sewing magazines have disappeared, and the sewing association I belong to isn't doing anything at all to further sewing in the community. There are so many talented people in the association, but they're not passing their skills on. It's more like a social event. I know there are great things happening in the UK and the online community all over the world is growing, but I see very few young people here getting involved. I'm sure it's partly because their mother or father didn't learn, so they don't own a sewing machine. It's a barrier. How can we turn this around and have a sewing revolution? Any thoughts you have would be much appreciated. Regards, Lorna.
Thank you, Lorna. This is such a great point. I think from our perspective, we are seeing a lot of young people involved in the sewing community. And I do think that there's a bit of a resurgence. And for every company that is closing, a new company is opening. And we're in a little bit of a transitional time.
Yeah.
But it is so important to pass on sewing. And we do have some thoughts about how we can encourage other people. First of all, just sharing your makes, whether it's online or in person when you're at social events, is really inspiring for others. And it's inspiring for people of any age to see other people around their age making and wearing their clothes that they made.
Yeah, I think The common reaction for me when I talk to somebody who doesn't sew and they realize that I sew is, oh, I could never do that. I have a sewing machine, but I'm terrible at sewing. And like, I'm not as talented as you. I can't sew that. So giving them that encouragement or resources and being like, no, you actually can do that. Like, I just learned how to sew a few years ago, or you wouldn't believe the community online of supportive people that are willing to help you in your journey. Like, give them those facts so that they feel empowered to maybe dig that sewing machine out of their closet and just give it another go. I really love that. We also see the sewing community growing. So continue to talk about it as often as you can and try to find ways in your community to engage others. So maybe it's not at a party, maybe it's at some other event, or maybe it's just at a coffee shop, or I don't know, just figure out ways to like person to person connect with people and tell them about sewing.
Mm-hmm. If you have young people in your life, you know, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, try to get them involved in sewing. Talk to their parents, see if there's something that you can do regularly with them to teach them the sewing knowledge that you have, because you're right, they might not get it in school. And I think if you don't learn it when you're young, it can be even harder to get into it as an adult, while not impossible.
Definitely not impossible. But we do agree with you. We love to sew. And we think that the sewing revolution and education process starts with us talking about it and engaging with other sewists and non-sewists online and in person.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing we could do, all of us, is have a default list of patterns, help articles, companies that you're really into. Craft like your perfect introduction to sewing email. And then whenever you encounter somebody who's like mildly interested, get their deets, send them the email, follow up, like make a point to bring others into the fold. We know how great it is. So why not bring more?
Yeah. I really love that. Having like a draft email just ready to go.
Yeah.
So you can fire it off to all the people.
Inspo. Yeah. No problem.
I love it. So in closing, we just want to say, please do continue to submit your comments and feedback. We love hearing from you, and this community is so important to us. And we want to thank you all for your continuous support. It means so much.
It really does.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.ca. Go check out her new website. It's amazing.
Yay! We're recording today in
cold,
crisp,
sunny
Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us, get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you will get access to our bonus episode feed. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
If you contribute $10 or more a month, you also get an exclusive discount code for Helen's Closet and Blackbird Fabrics.
15% off.
Basically pays for itself, you guys.
Yeah.
And thank you to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. Thank you all so much for listening and for sending your feedback. We will talk to you next week.
Yeah, we will.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Even a combo machine that was oh my God. I feel like Sam should do a montage of all of our terrible mistakes.
Montage.
Montage.
Today we are doing our semi.
Sorry. Okay, hold on.
Over the pot. What's wrong with me today? This what does not bode well. With you?
Is a word selben? Oh my God! Save the Stertix. Save the Stertix. Oh my God!
Save those Stertix.